After sending Nicholas away to make his fortune as a schoolmaster, Ralph Nickleby now has the freedom to put his own schemes into action. And for Mrs. Nickleby and Kate, this has meant anxiety, uncertainty, and unease. It is 2 days after Nicholas's departure. Kate and her mother still lodge at the house of Mr. Creevy, the miniature painter.
Are you sure you want me to sit for you?
Kate is having her likeness taken. She is, as Mr. Creevy realizes, a very beautiful young woman. She is, as she confides to the painter, a troubled young woman.
This state of uncertainty, of not knowing what we are to do, of what my Uncle Ralph has in mind for us, it is worse than anything so far. Oh, and yet, though Mama seems to rest so many hopes upon him, I try not to be ungrateful, but to be dependent upon his goodwill would be worse than begging. And yet, how shall we live?
Come on, I haven't all day. Time is money.
Kate is right to be concerned. She is indeed a lovely young girl. And as Ralph Nickleby realizes, loveliness, like everything else in this world, has a price. It is a very saleable commodity.
Mr. Ralph Nickleby, to see Mrs. Nickleby and Miss Kate Nickleby.
Mama, it's Uncle Ralph. Oh, my dear brother. How kind of you.
Enough. I have found a situation for your daughter, ma'am.
Well, now, I will say that is only just what I have expected of you. Depend upon it, I said to Kate only yesterday morning at breakfast,
Mama,
that after your uncle has provided in that most ready manner for Nicholas, he will not leave us until he has done the same for you. Those were my very words. Now, Kate, why don't you thank your uncle?
Let me proceed, ma'am, if I may.
Kate, please, let your uncle proceed.
I'm most anxious he should, Mama.
Well, if you are that anxious, you better allow him to say what he wishes without interruption, for he's a busy man, and however much we might wish to keep him...
I find an absence of business habits in this family leads to a great waste of words before anything is arrived at all.
Oh, I fear so indeed. Your poor brother...
had no idea what business was unacquainted with the very meaning of the word.
Oh, I fear he was. If it hadn't been for me, I don't know what would have become of him. Many and many times, I recall...
What strange creatures we are. Mrs. Nickleby has loved her husband dearly for many years and has no greater share of selfishness than most people, and yet she has come to believe that of all her late husband's creditors, she is the worst used and the most to be pitied. She is perhaps fertile ground for the vicious seeds that Ralph has planted, and she is indeed suffering from sudden want of money. And yet...
Oh, dear.
Repining is of no use, ma'am. Of all the fruitless errands, sending a tear to look after a day that is gone is the most fruitless.
Oh, so it is. So it is.
As you feel so keenly in your own purse and person the consequences of not attending to business, I'm sure you will instruct your children to learn a different lesson.
Of course, I must see to that. Kate, my dear... put that very fact down in the next letter to Nicholas, or remind me to do so.
Yes, Mama.
I have found your daughter a position at a dressmaker's.
Sewing?
At a milliner's and dressmaker's, ma'am.
But sewing?
And I need not remind you, ma'am, that dressmakers in London make large fortunes, keep coaches, and become quite fashionable in society.
Ah.
And Mrs. Nickleby begins to see a large house in the West End, a private carriage, and a bank book.
Oh, what your uncle says is true, Kate. Why, now I think of it, I remember when your poor papa and I came to town after we were married, and a young milliner brought me a chip cottage bonnet with white and green trimming,
Mama,
and green curtain lining in her own carriage, which drove up to the door in full gallop.
I'm not quite certain
it was her own carriage or a hackney cab, but I do remember that the horse dropped down dead as he was turning round, and your poor dear papa said he hadn't had any corn for a fortnight, and that...
The name of the proprietor of the establishment is Mantellini. Madame Mantalini, Cavendish Square.
Oh,
if your daughter is minded to try for the situation, I'll take her there at once.
Have you nothing to say to your uncle, dear?
A great deal, Mama, but not now. I would rather speak with him when we are alone.
With these words, Kate hurries away to change into her walking dress and to hide the emotion she is feeling. On her return, uncle and niece walk through the streets of London at some considerable speed.
Now, do you see? This is the pace you'll need to walk to work every morning.
I am very much obliged to you for your arrangement, Uncle.
I'm glad to hear it. I hope you will do your duty.
I will try to, please, Uncle. Indeed, I will.
Don't begin to cry. I detest crying.
It's very foolish, I know, Uncle.
It is, and very affected. Let me see no more of it.
Uncle, may I ask one question? Am I to live at home?
You will live, to all intents and purposes, at Madame Mantalini's establishment. You will take your meals there. You'll be there from morning to night, and occasionally till morning again, I've no doubt.
But I must have somewhere that I can call a home. And that must be wherever my mother is. It doesn't matter if it's humble.
If it's humble? If? It will be, you mean? If it's humble. Is the girl mad?
The words slipped from my lips. I did not mean it.
Very well. Come along.
But you haven't answered my question, Uncle. Uncle!
I had some idea of providing for your mother in a pleasant part of the country.
Cornwall, where he has some almshouses that have proved useful for inconveniences in the past. But Ralph is more concerned with Kate's possibilities than her mother's annoyances. So,
Since you wish to be together, I must do something for her, for you both. She has a little money?
A very little.
Which will go a long way if it's used sparingly. And she must see how long she can make it last living rent-free. You leave Miss Lacrevis on Saturday?
You told us so, Uncle.
There is a house empty that I have. I could put you into that until it is let. Yes.
Is it far from here, sir?
Pretty well. Another quarter of the town. East End. I'll send my clerk down on Saturday to make sure you get there. Now, that's your mother taken care of. Let's see to your future, Miss Kate.
Whilst Kate undergoes her interview, Mrs. Nickleby ponders.
I remember, as well as if it were only yesterday, employing a seamstress to make me a... What was it now? A scarlet cloak, who seemed quite happy indeed. Kate, my dear? Is not your uncle with you?
No, I'm alone.
Well, tell me, Kate, dear. Don't be so private. How will you ever get on if you will not speak?
Yes, Mama.
You have seen this Madame Mantalini?
I first met Mr. Mantalini.
Mister? He's respectable enough, I dare say.
Oh, no, he is not at all respectable.
What?
He wore Turkish trousers and a waistcoat with lots of colours and green slippers and moustaches and a beard. And they were dyed, and he was horrible, Mama. He was...
Oh, really, Kate, don't be so provincial. I'm sure many gentlemen wear Turkish trousers now. Besides, he's probably an artist.
I do not know, Mama. But he stared at me very much, and it was not in the same way that Miss Lacrevy looks when she paints me.
Well, that is no doubt because she paints miniatures.
He is not a painter, Mama. He's merely Miss Mantalini.
And Madame?
He seemed to dote on her, but she seems very jealous of him. I can't imagine why.
But what did she say of work? You must try and heed your uncle's advice and be attentive.
She employs 20 young women to make and sew. She asked me what hours I was accustomed to work. I told her none. She told me I will be employed from 9 till 9, with extra hours when they're busy.
It seems very fair indeed. Your wages?
To be from 5 to 7 shillings a week, with meals.
Most generous of Madame Mantalini. I hope you are properly thankful.
I'm to start on Monday. I will be put under Miss Knagg, the forewoman.
Most proper. I'm sure you will work your way to a position of prominence in no time at all.
I...
But what of our lodgings? Did your uncle say anything of lodgings?
Yes. He did speak of his intentions.
Kate soon acquaints her mother of Uncle Ralph's plans for them, of a humble house in the East End, which Mrs. Nickleby soon makes acceptable, sight unseen. Even though mother and daughter are heartbroken to be leaving Miss La Creevy's, for the miniature painter has proved to be a friend indeed to both women. But crying or talking or hoping or fearing will not hold back time. And on Saturday, as the clock strikes five, there are three knocks at the door, and Kate opens it to admit a waft of gin and...
Mr. Newman knocks, ma'am. From Mr. Ralph Nickleby. To assist you.
We shall be ready directly. We haven't much to carry, but I feel we will need a coat.
I shall get one.
Oh, please, don't trouble.
I shall.
Oh, very well. And how is your master?
Oh, Mr. Nickleby is very well since his love. Indeed. Yes.
And this was all Mr. Noggs would say on the matter. The coach soon arrived, and they were on their way to their new lodgings, crossing the city, ending up in Thames Street, outside a gloomy, sullen house.
This house is so cold, so chill. It seems as if some dreadful blight has fallen upon it.
Go here! Need 2 rooms! It isn't much.
A table at least, and chairs and a bit of carpet.
Why, Kate, isn't that kind of your uncle to find these things for us?
Mr. Noggs, did you perhaps...
There is tea, milk, a few things in the kitchen here. After all, Miss Nickleby, you know how very, very generous Mr. Ralph can be.
And so amused is Newman Noggs by the notion of Ralph's generosity that he cracks all of his knuckles in succession.
I think we are right now, Mr. Noggs.
Indeed, yes. Nothing I can do? Nothing at all?
Nothing at all, thank you.
Perhaps we should give him a tip for a drink.
I think, Mama, you would hurt his feelings very much if you offered it.
My dear young lady, I must... I must go. Farewell, you both! Farewell!
What a strange fellow, to be sure.
The crash of the heavy front door echoes dismally through the empty house. And Kate is ashamed of her fears, shivers, breathes one sigh, and falls silent.
Farewell, and then...